KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Cherry Blossom Orchestra on Wednesday, June 27th at 8 p.m. at the No Vacancy Lounge in Portland. The evening centers on the historic performance of Jansen Hop, a piece of music written in Portland in 1931 to be performed at Jansen Beach's Golden Canopy Ballroom. It was never recorded. The night also features a 90th birthday tribute for Louis Armstrong's West End Blues and much more. Again, that's the Cherry Blossom Orchestra on Wednesday, June 27th at 8 p.m. at the No Vacancy Lounge, 235 Southwest 1st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomathon 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm.
Hi, I'm Dale Holliday coming to you from Corvallis, Oregon in the bountiful Willamette Valley. Welcome to my show, Valley Views, a forum for sharing relevant topics relating to people and issues in the Willamette region. There's a national group called Surge, standing up for racial justice. And there's a branch in Portland, Corvallis, Oregon, and many other parts of the U.S. From what I understand, one of the main goals of this group is to organize white people to speak out against racism and to call out the systemic racism that surrounds us. The thought is that white people too often dismiss this message when it comes from people of color, but they may listen to fellow white people when they say, yes, racism does exist and this is what it looks like. I was invited to attend one of the Corvallis Surge meetings. As part of my appearance, I asked to read a piece I'd written about some of the things that white people do that makes me angry. I'm talking about white people who you would think should know better, but they don't. I read the piece to the group to try and give them some insights about my experiences as a black woman in Corvallis, because I know that many of the residents here think that Corvallis is a progressive town. So how could there be racism or racist acts here? And yes, Corvallis is a progressive town in many aspects. So many communities across this nation are, but that does not mean that cultural awareness exists. So before I read this piece, I want to say that I'm not speaking for all African Americans, but these are things that have happened time and time again to every single black woman that I know in some form or another, and it's not just in Corvallis. So here we go. 11 things that white, liberal, progressive, educated, enlightened people do that as a black woman I really, really hate. Number one, when we know each other through work or the neighborhood, but you never greet me unless I say hi first. Even if we're the only two people walking toward each other in the hallway or on the sidewalk, if I don't initiate the greeting, you get a fearful kind of deer in the headlight expression as if you fear I'm going to stab you. If I say nothing, you say nothing, and we pass like strangers. But I get really weary of making the first friendly gesture every single time. Number two, when you mix me up with other African American women of vastly different skin shade, height, weight, age, and hair type, and not just once, constantly. Number three, when you ask me to tell you about an unjust or racist encounter to better understand the dynamic. When I begin to tell you, calmly and without blame, you, one, argue with me about my experiences, telling me that it wasn't racism, or two, claim that I'm being negative. No, I'm not being negative. I'm relaying negative experience. Number four, when you literally back away from me when I'm calmly relaying information to you to make a point, give feedback, or explain something unsettling that has occurred that I need to share. I'm not being negative. I'm relaying a fact about something negative that occurred. See previously number 3. 5. When during the course of conversation, you ask me to share my observations regarding inequality and societal barriers that blacks and other people of color face. I try to explain how the privilege dynamic connects. You get defensive, shut your ears, shut your eyes, and run away. Remember, you asked. 6. Insisting that you're colorblind. Nonsense. But if that really is true, you're blind to the realities and experiences that comprise my life, all things that relate to defining who I am and how I navigate the world. 7. When you use the term post-racial America and actually believe that term has validity. 8. When you're just a little too eager to inform me that you've adopted a brown-skinned child, or that someone in your family is dating or married to a brown-skinned person. I'll have to go take an aside here and say, I never want to ever again hear the term cocoa baby or choco baby or chocolate baby that I've heard far too often from women referring to their mixed grandkids. Number 9, when you're conversing with other whites, all of you listing your ancestral lines, Scotch, English, Irish, Swedish, etc., then become jaw-drop astonished when I list my own. African, Native American, French, German, Welsh, Haitian. Are you so ignorant of historic realities? Colonization, slavery, and yes, even free will have all resulted in my family tree being as multi-ethnic as yours. Number 10. Talking in black dialect, and I'll put quotes around black dialect, at any time for any reason. I don't care who you're mimicking or if you've heard some name brand celebrity of any color doing it on TV.
And that's what, you know,
talk, that mimicry from anyone. Number 7. And this is not limited to educated progressive liberals, but I had to put it in here anyway, because it's happened so often, far too often. When I approach a clerk, receptionist, or some type of info staff who scowl at me the moment I enter the establishment and before I even speak, I've witnessed them smiling and warmly greeting each white person who approached them ahead of me, but I get the icy stare and the clipped, "Can I help you?" The sense I get is that they think I don't belong there, am going to make a problem for them, or I'm just trouble. I present my needs clearly and in English, yet they continue to scowl, not, quote, understanding, end quote, what I'm saying. I seem to throw them even with a very simple question like, "How late is the store open today?" Or, "Where's the ladies' fitting room?" In his 1903 work, The Souls of Black Folk, W.E.B. Du Bois posed the question, "How does it feel to be a problem?" He posed this to black folks. Well, I hope that I've given you just a taste of what that can feel like. To quote the genius author James Baldwin, to be black and conscious in America is to be in a constant state of rage. A truer statement was never spoken, as far as I'm concerned. To survive racism without going crazy, you can't ignore it. Many well-meaning white people try to sweep it under the rug, whistling past the graveyard, my husband likes to call it. They say it's an unpleasant topic, makes them feel bad. I say, if it makes them feel bad, how do they think I and others like me feel? I wish it weren't the case, but anger is not a stranger to me. But anger is not necessarily a bad thing either. Anger gets kind of a bad rap these days. Being angry doesn't mean you're going to go out and hurt somebody. I say it's normal to get angry about racism. Shows you're thinking. Anger helps you push back. Anger can be the fuel for fighting racism as well as other injustices in our society. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Thanks. You've been listening to Valley Views. I'm your host, Dale Holliday, and I'd love to hear from you. Comments, questions, ideas for future topics, or other matters you'd like explored. Email me at valleyviews@kboo.org. That's valleyviews@kboo.org. I look forward to being with you again next time. And remember, as Doctor Who once said, I'm not in charge, but I'm full of ideas. Bye.
Support for KBOO programming comes from Dark Side Cinema, open every night featuring independent foreign and art house films. The Dark Side is located at 215 Southwest 4th Street between Madison and Jefferson in Corvallis, Oregon. More information and showtimes are available online at darksidecinema.com.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor IRANFORM, U.S. Withdrawal from Nuclear Agreement and Path to War, on Friday, June 29th at 6:30 at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. The IRANFORM will feature Jamal Abdi, Executive Director of the National Iran American Council, journalist Reese Ehrlich, and local speakers in a discussion about withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal. The sponsoring groups are involved in prevention of war and in supporting diplomacy and friendship with the people of Iran. Again, that's the Iran Forum U.S. Withdrawal from the Nuclear Agreement and Path to War on Friday, June 29th at 6:30 at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm out to sing songs that will prove to you that this is your world, and that if it's hit you pretty hard and knocked you down for a dozen loops, no matter how hard it's run you down and rolled over you, no matter what color, what size you are, how you're built, I am out to sing the songs that will make you take pride in yourself.
I'm Lori Sonnenfeld.
And I'm Don Jacobson.
Together we bring you Moving On, Fridays from 12 noon to 1:30.
We feature both traditional and contemporary folk music.
We love to present live in-studio concerts from local and national musicians.
Tune in and you'll hear music that is socially progressive, moving, and heartfelt.
Music heard only on the left-hand edge of the dial and only on KBOO.
Every Friday, noon to 1:30.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Before we return to our live interviews on scene at the ICE PDX protest, we're going to play you this interview from yesterday with one of the individuals involved in the lockdown who was later arrested on site.
And that's why we're out here, not because we're your enemies. We have a different point of view. You people represent the law, but you're not right.
So, in your experience, have you seen the type of situation that the United States is in right now before?
I have never seen it, not in the United States. It's absolutely unique, and it's very scary. You know, it's very scary because of the people who are supporting this president, and they are anti-immigration. They are anti-white, a lot of them.
What do you mean, the people that support the administration?
There's a big right-wing cadre that supports Mr. Trump.
Yeah.
And he tends to follow their policies. And one of them is anti-immigrants. Okay, that's only one of them. The other thing is that We were a nation made for all people. Everybody is supposed to be equal. The rich are not more equal than the poor. Yet at the same time, Mr. Trump fills his cabinet with only extremely rich people who have a very narrow wish for what is done in this country. And he's following it. And the rest of the country is going fallow and is going right down the drain. So I'm really sorry about it. This is only a symptom. This is only a symptom. You know, this is not the cause. And I don't know what can be done about it. It's very scary at my age because I'm an American and I've supported America. And to see America reduced to this, it's very, very sad.
What do you think is the cause?
Well, I think it's the cause of a lot of voters who voted for the wrong person. And why they did, they thought that they would get benefits from this president. They're getting nothing. Okay. And the misinformation they got that allowed them to vote that way amazes me. We elected this president. I mean, we are responsible. I didn't vote for him, but certainly this country is. And it's sad that this country is responsible for somebody like that who can make laws like this.
I might have misheard you earlier because I thought you said that the president's supporters are anti-white. Did I mishear that?
No, they're pro-white. That's the problem. They're anti-immigrants.
Okay.
You know, many of them are right, alt-right, white supremacists. Okay, scary people. This is a democracy. It's supposed to be a democracy. It's not an oligarchy, although it's become an oligarchy because the rich rule. And the rules are made.